Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we mourn with the people of Uvalde, Texas, as we go through the facts, what happened, and we talk about how the Democrats did not miss a beat to try and push gun control legislation. You can email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Go to tpusa.com and give a gift of any amount to get your free copy of the Great Reset booklet that I have written, tpusa.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. And as always, I love hearing from you. Email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Start a high school or college chapter while you're at tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved in the fight for America. That's tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There's moments in time and there are stories that happen where you just take a pause and the evil that is committed is just so overwhelming, it almost like ruins your day. And it just impacts everything you do. And it kind of dominates the conversation for the time being between your friends and family members. There's some things that happen where the actions are so horrific, they're so plainly evil, that through any sort of human reason or reflection, you can't even imagine how someone would do that. Now, I'm of course talking about the school shooting that happened yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. We know that there is evil in the world. This show, we talk about a lot of evil things. We talk about how the few want to rule the many, about how our rights are being taken away, about the ever kind of growing organization of biomedical fascism. We are not a stranger to evil on this program. But when you have a situation that unfolded, that what happened in Uvalde, Texas, yesterday, where a shooter goes in, and we're going to go through all the details of what we know and what we don't know, and seemingly randomly picked this school as a place to go in and just lock himself into a classroom and in cold blood murder children, fourth graders, 19 children and two teachers. It just kind of takes your breath away. And they're really, and this is the first point I want to make, is that it isn't a political thing. And of course, it immediately becomes a political thing. It doesn't have to be. We could debate gun policy for the next week or two or the next month. I'm more than willing to do that. But it's just so disappointing and predictable and bad for the country, by the way, where you can't just have like a moment where you internalize and you say, my goodness, that's really evil. Instead, it's almost this, it's this seamless action done by the media, and it's so wrong, and it's bad for the country, where instantaneously they get into a default setting of, we need gun legislation, we need to abolish the filibuster. There should be some time of mourning and recognition of the act of evil. Now, this is going to get a lot of media coverage, we believe, for the foreseeable future. We're going to make some predictions on how this unfolds, but here's what we know. So this, undeniably evil person, which is just the closest thing to a demon I've seen in a very long time, and I mean that literally and figuratively, got in a fight with his grandmother, just killed his grandmother, and then gets into a car and heads toward an elementary school. Crashes his car and totals his car outside of the elementary school. Comes outside of the car and walks into the elementary school and abandoned his vehicle, entered Robb Elementary School with a handgun, and he may have also had a rifle. Now, I just want to take a pause. The left is already immediately politicizing this about gun confiscation. Now, we are going to be forced to respond, and we will respond after we have a chance to mourn and actually talk about what happened. The type of gun that was used is going to be very important in us being able to respond to Joe Biden and all these politicians that want to confiscate guns. It's very important because Joe Biden is making an argument that we need to confiscate all automatic rifles, and this was long-range rifle. We don't know yet. And so those kind of particulars are going to be very important for us, people that actually appreciate constitutional rights and the right to protect oneself and gun rights, to be able to make a coherent argument in response. But we'll get to that. There'll be plenty of time to build that out, that's for sure. The suspected shooter, who may have had a handgun and a rifle, was also killed when law enforcement confronted him at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, about 83 miles west of San Antonio. Quote, it is believed that he abandoned his vehicle and entered Robb Elementary School. Okay. So Lieutenant Chris Alvarez of the Texas Department of Public Safety said the suspect shot his grandmother, who was hospitalized in critical condition, after he crashed nearby, went on campus and opened fire. He started shooting every single person that was in front of him. Officers outside could hear gunshots, but couldn't get in as they were met with a barrage of gunfire. Some were wounded. They eventually resorted to breaking windows to evacuate children and staffers that they could. The Texas Department of Public Safety said the shooter was wearing body armor and carried a rifle. But Alvarez said on MSNBC, believe the shooter wore a type of vest that tactical teams use. It's not clear if the shooter added ballistic protection to the vest. We now have learned that the shooter did not have a criminal history and was unemployed with no friends, no girlfriend that we can identify. Cut 68 is Bill Malusian doing a rundown of the facts that we know. Let's play Cut 68.
And the morbid details that we are getting from the shooting is this shooter went into one single fourth grade classroom, locked himself in, barricaded it, and essentially almost all of the casualties from this incident were in that one single classroom.
So that's just a small clip, short clip from Bill Malusian. And so he just locked himself in one classroom and did the unspeakable, horrific act. Now, how he got these weapons, we will learn. What gun laws might have been violated in getting those weapons, we will learn. The left doesn't want to hear this, but this is the truth, that in society, there are some very sick people. And this person was demented and evil. Now, the left tried to spend the last couple of weeks trying to over-racialize this, all these mass shootings. We refused to do that and pushed back against it. They're going to struggle to do that here. I'm not going to say the shooter's name, but the shooter was Hispanic. So they won't be able to racialize this one because they try to do that every single time. So they're going to focus particularly on just guns and firearms. But it's a very important takeaway immediately as we try to get all the facts and take pause and not try to enthusiastically run into a position to change public policy too quickly is to do the following, which is we must not allow emotions to dictate gun policy. Tyrants would love nothing more than to capitalize on an evil tragedy as an excuse to confiscate your guns and weapons and limit your ability to protect yourself. Unfortunately, I have been in this space for 10 years in the sense that I've seen many of these. Sandy Hook, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. What usually happens and what's going to happen in the coming days and weeks is there will be a coalition, a drumbeat, media coverage that will increase over a period of time. But then there is eventually a cooling off period. A week later, 10 days later, where then people say, wait a second, if you take guns away, how will I be able to protect my family against criminals? And then that cooling off period is typically when all of a sudden, hopefully cooler and more reasonable heads can prevail. The sooner we can get to that, the better. The media is going to try to keep us in a position of mass hysteria, high emotion, to try to build a consensus of public policy for gun confiscation and for unconstitutional, anti-constitutional firearm legislation. Look, over the years, you've probably tried difficult investments in stocks and mutual funds, so you know they can be volatile and unpredictable. But with inflation running at the highest rate of 40 years, do you want volatility and uncertainty? Being able to sleep at night, knowing where your money actually is, it's worth its weight in gold. And speaking of gold, if you've been jumping from one investment to the other, a gold IRA from Noble Gold might be perfect for you. A reliable hedge against inflation just fell into our laps. With gold, you shield yourself from gains in taxes. You keep the real value of your wealth. You'll own a global asset. It's something tangible, and protect your wealth against an economic crash. I own gold and you should as well. So what's not to like? And this month, for every gold IRA above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com. Tragedy in Uvalde. We're going to learn more as the days progress. And Joe Biden is such a, he's such a bad person. He really is. I don't say that lightly. I wish he was just a buffoon, but he's got something in him and that motivates him that is just about power and is about, it's about something that isn't about being president of the United States. So he had an opportunity to unite the country and to mourn and not overly politicize yesterday. Instead, he went right into DNC talking points, anti-gun grabbing kind of sound bites. And I mean, I was traveling yesterday. I was doing a couple things. We're going to be in Indiana tonight, by the way. And so I didn't really have it. I've watched zero cable news, zero, since yesterday. And I encourage you to do that in times of mass tragedy like this. Listen to talk radio, listen to podcasts. I think it'll actually give you more clarity because cable news is just really trying to provoke a reaction with these things. It's Life Church is what it's called in Indiana. Life Church will be there with Micah Beckwith, right? But Joe Biden went right in. Joe Biden said, look, we need to pass gun laws. We need to pass the assault weapon ban. Joe Biden did not miss a beat or an opportunity to try and resurrect his plummeting poll numbers to politically capitalize on the blood and the suffering and the tragedy of what happened in Uvalde. And yes, I am accusing Joe Biden of politicizing this immediately. There is no other interpretation of it. The beginning of his speech was just fine. It was standard boilerplate presidential speech, trying to be magnanimous, fine, no problem with that. But then when you start to go in and you start to recite one by one by one, trying to all of a sudden broaden this to be something that it isn't, that like the deer in Kevlar vests talking point, which they think sounds really good, but they just make fools of themselves when they do it. Hear it for yourself. Play cut 61.
I am sick and tired of it. We have to act. And don't tell me we can't have an impact on this carnage. I spent my career as a senator and a vice president working to pass common sense gun laws. We can and won't prevent every tragedy, but we know they work and have positive impact. When we passed the assault weapons ban, mass shootings went down. When the law expired, mass shootings tripled.
He's doing everything he possibly can to demagogue the issue. Now, those numbers are incredibly, let's just say, untrue and blurred. We'll get into all of the facts. So, I mean, I don't like this, but we're going to have to do this. Every couple of years, after MSD, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, in Parkland, Florida, after Sandy Hook, we have to go dust off all of the arguments that we make to try to push back against the gun grabbers. I wish there was a moment where we could say, wow, that was really terrible. That person was basically the closest thing to a demon you're ever going to see. That's evil. It's something that you can't even comprehend. Can we have like a couple days to maybe just mourn and to process this? No, I have to immediately now go back into a gun control debate. Fine. I don't do it willingly. I do it reluctantly because I feel as if that's not the way human beings should process tragedy. But if that's the case, then Joe Biden, then we're going to get back into the debate. We're going to defend our Second Amendment rights. We're going to add prudence, and we are going to add reason and cross-examination of actually where the majority of gun crime happens in America. The majority of gun crime actually happens in urban areas, in gang-related activity. And even if you look at all the gun crime in America, 33,000 gun deaths on average a year, 66% of them are deaths by suicide that are counted as gun deaths. We're the only country in the industrialized world that does that. If this is now what we have to do, which it looks like we will, then buckle up, everybody. Those of us that love the Constitution, we're going to now get back in. And I want Joe Biden to answer why $40 billion to Ukraine was a higher priority than hiring armed guards at schools and having single point of entry. Why is it that we're sending $40 billion to Ukraine, but no one thought, hey, maybe our schools are sitting ducks for maniacs that can go in and lock themselves and kill 19 children? And some people say that's a red herring. Two things are unrelated. They're not. We have said repeatedly on this program, politicians prioritize with urgent precision what matters to them. And Kiev has mattered a lot more than elementary school protection, having armed guards, or having single point entry. Look, everybody, I know you love freedom and you want to defend it. And I know you love the Constitution. It's a beautiful document, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives its undergraduate and graduate students the best education and is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support K through 12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's amazing free monthly digest of liberty. It's called Imprimis. Over 6 million households and businesses receive Imprimis for free each month. And you can join them by subscribing right now at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. There's no strings attached while you're there. Take an online course. Take their Aristotle course. Take their Winston Churchill course. Take their Western theology course. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible for Hillsdale to send you Imprimis for free. Imprimis is one of my favorite publications, and Imprimis means in the first place. It's short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this great digest of liberty and take an online course while you're at it. Enroll. Their Great American Story course is incredible. Visit charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Check it out right now, charlieforhillsdale.com.
Begrudgingly, we're going to get back into the gun control debate. We're now going to defend our rights against people that want to take them away. We're going to add clarity, and we're going to add hopefully some wisdom to how we talk about weapons and how we talk about the Second Amendment against the highly emotional chatter that is going to enter the discourse. We are prepared for this. I lived through, not just lived through, I was front and center on a lot of the Parkland shooting. I got to know Kyle Kashuv, and I remember being in Washington, D.C. In fact, we're reposting a video of this. And I kid you not, there must have been 100, 200,000 people. Do you remember this? The March for Our Lives? David Hogg and all these people that were being platformed by celebrities all around a massive push for gun control, which of course was just a midterm push for the Democrats. This was in February and March of 2018. If I remember correctly, Parkland happened on Valentine's Day of 2018, February 14th, 2018. And it just unfolded for months of gun control chatter. And I went into the streets of that. So in a moment, we're going to be joined by Drew Hernandez, who is actually on the border and then zipped over to Uvalde to do some front lines reporting. He runs front lines for us at Turning Point USA, does a great job. He had an amazing clip that came out where he was actually showing illegals getting put into buses and just walking into the interior of the United States. So the attack began at 11:30 a.m. when the gunman crashed his car outside the school and ran into the building, according to a spokesman for Texas Department of Homeland Security, Safety.
A resident who heard the crash called 911, and two local police officers exchanged gunfire with the shooter. Both officers were shot. It was not immediately clear where on the campus that confrontation occurred or how much time elapsed before the authorities arrived on scene. To help make clarity of all this is Drew Hernandez, one of the best frontline reporters in America. We're honored to have him at Turning Point USA. Drew, welcome to the program. You're on the front lines right now in Uvalde. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are we missing in this tragic, horrific situation that our audience should be aware of?
It's definitely a horrific situation, Charlie. And obviously all the noise, the political noise that is predominantly coming from the left, the far left, they immediately pounce on this. They make it about gun control. They use the fear mongering. They use the manipulation of the people to push their political agendas. And a lot of what actually happened gets lost in the transition because of this kind of stuff. And they know this. But I think the investigation is still underway right now. It started immediately when I got on the ground yesterday. The FBI was there. The DEA was there. Obviously, local law enforcement was there. That is actually a Border Patrol agent that took down this murderer that was killing children and a couple of teachers and adults. So what's happening is I think a lot of information that's coming out specifically about the shooter is accurate, isn't accurate. But what we do know is that this shooter did live locally. He did attempt to kill his grandmother before he headed to the school. And I talked to a couple eyewitnesses on the ground, and it sounds like he had some kind of confrontation, and local law enforcement confirmed this as well. He did have a confrontation with his grandmother, not sure what it was over. But once he tried to murder his grandmother, he left his house, took a truck, drove it to the school in the back of the school, ran it into a ditch, got out with his firearms, and then just started bum rushing the school and opening fire on some of the children. Now, some of the details about this shooter are conflicting, but what we do know is he seems to be somewhat of a loner, somewhat kind of quiet, kept to himself, was bullied. Apparently, some reports are coming out that he was bullied for having a lisp, bullied for being different. He was messaging people on Instagram, on social media, saying that he was going to do something violent, sending pictures of his magazines, of his weapons to random people, random girls on the internet. Apparently, allegedly he worked at Wendy's as well, and he would send disturbing, kind of inappropriate messages to women. He sounds somewhat of an incel as well. I'm not trying to be funny. I think he kind of literally was. Obviously, this is a disturbed individual that is willing to show up to murder children, Charlie. It's a horrible situation, but I'm en route right now back to Uvalde right now. We're going to do some more digging on the ground to confirm some of these reports that we're seeing on social media. We're going to talk to some of the surrounding residents and neighbors and people that live in the area. I mean, last night, what was very sad, Charlie, is that the parents, and this is what really, I was going to be honest, this is what really pissed me off yesterday when I was watching this, is when I'm there on the ground, the parents were in a civic center and they were waiting for confirmation to learn whether their child was massacred or not. And they were there, I think, till about maybe midnight when the reports started coming in to confirm that their child was dead or not. They weren't even reunited with their children yet. And before that even happened, the far left and these political hack jobs, okay, are already taking to Twitter and social media, politicizing something that shouldn't be politicized, making it about gun control, okay, using a crisis and not letting it go to waste. They're already using these children and politicizing them before the parents could even confirm whether their child was dead or not, Charlie. Okay, this is what these people do. And for the record, they don't care about kids. They don't care about them at all. They don't even have the decency or respect to allow the parents to confirm whether their child is dead or not before they even take to social media to politicize a tragedy. So, I mean, it's a horrific situation, Charlie, but I think just immediately politicizing it is just ridiculous. We have to respect the community. It's just sad. It really is sad. People are brokenhearted.
Yeah. Well, Drew, great reporting there on the front lines. We're going to have you back on the program from Uvalde in the coming days. As you talk to community members, there's going to be a big controversy around what types of guns were used. How did he get the guns? What gun laws were followed or not followed? We don't care about that unless the left cares about it as a way to try to use it as a public policy kind of cudgel over us. And so it seems as if that is going to have to be something that is important. And so as you get that information, we're going to have you back on. Drew, safe journeys to Uvalde. Thank you so much for joining us. And please, as you're there on the ground, give our sympathies and our compassion to the entire community there. Keep up the great work, Drew. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Charlie.
I want to go to Cut 69. This is Tucker Carlson immediately reacting to Biden's address yesterday. It's a very powerful clip. Play Cut 69.
President of the United States, frail, confused, bitterly partisan, desecrating the memory of recently murdered children with tired talking points from the Democratic Party, dividing the country in a moment of deep pain rather than uniting. His voice rising, amplified only as he repeats the talking points he repeated for over 35 years in the United States Senate, partisan politics being the only thing that animates him. Unfit for leadership of this country.
That's exactly right. Never let a crisis go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel would say. And we know how to defend the Second Amendment. We know how to add a different factual and reasonable narrative. But we're on to the game at this point, unfortunately. Joe Biden had an opportunity to say, look, I obviously want more gun control, but we're just going to focus on the tragedy at hand, and we're not going to try to make this a victory for one political party. But putting points on the board for the Democrat National Committee is the only thing that might get Joe Biden a little bit excited. Joe Manchin was asked about gun control legislation. He said he would do anything I can to move common sense gun legislation forward, but refused to eliminate the filibuster to get gun legislation through the Senate. So it doesn't look like that's going to be happening anytime soon. It's going to happen, though. Probably a bunch of states are probably going to pass more gun control legislation that might get struck down in the courts. Thankfully, the courts have been doing a good job of upholding it. But we know this, and we talk about it every time one of these tragedies happen, which is a gun is a tool. A gun is a piece of technology. It's who is using it and what they do with it, which is the more operative question. And this person was so unbelievably dark and satanic and disturbed. Obviously, it's just like a glaring mental health problem, but it's beyond that. How do we identify those people? How do we give them help? Well, there was early indications that this individual was previewing his acts of violence. I just want, if you're hearing my voice and you have a child that goes to school and they hear something from somebody that isn't quite right, intervention is necessary. Getting people the help that they need and taking those things seriously. Now, whether or not this person was under surveillance or was kind of on the list of local police or the FBI remains to be known. I do not personally know. I'm sure the information is out there. We're going to find it, how this individual got his weapons. That's going to be a huge part of the discussion in the coming days and months to come. Now, some of you are probably saying, Charlie, you know, this is a tragedy. How much time are you going to focus on this? Well, this is a purely defensive measure. I want to be very clear, which is covering this from a human perspective is necessary. But I'm going to read you some of the tweets and some of the quotes from leading Democrats, which forces our hand to get equally as political. As begrudgingly as I have to do that, in a time of national tragedy, in a time that takes your breath away, where someone goes and locks themselves in a room and kills 19 fourth graders, then we're going to have to get back into the debate, and we will win. We will win the debate because facts are on our side, and the moral argument to be able to defend yourself is on our side. But instantaneously, Democrats did not even allow the bodies to be identified. While the bodies are still not identified, they are swooping in to repeat their long-held aims and objectives for gun confiscation. So then it forces a defensive countermeasure by those of us that love liberty, and we say, okay, if you want to talk about gun crime, you want to talk about the need to defend yourself, then so be it. We believe it's too soon to do that, but we are not going to allow tyrants and political operatives to try to capitalize on the suffering of a nation to be able to shred our Constitution. Here we go. We do it begrudgingly, but we're not going to lose. We're going to win. They forced the hand. Barack Obama, Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, Hillary Clinton, all of them with these incredibly vomit-inducing, morally sanctimonious, yes, if you only give us more political power to go take your guns away, these things wouldn't happen. Okay. So one of the talking points that Joe Biden has is this. Play cut 55. I want you to listen to this. It might sound good, but then I'm going to ask you a question right afterwards. Play cut 55.
The idea that an 18-year-old kid can walk into a gun store and buy two assault weapons is just wrong. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for except to kill someone?
Okay, Joe Biden, so you think somebody's age, age 18, is it necessary to be trusted? Then, Joe Biden, what do you have to say for the hundreds of thousands of 18-year-olds that are now serving our country in our military? If you represent us in our military, you shouldn't be able to own a weapon? They're tied directly together. So Joe Biden is now attacking 18-year-olds as not being mature enough. Oh, really, Joe Biden? Those are the very same 18-year-olds that you might want to send into a combat of war, a war theater in Ukraine. How about the 18-year-olds that died for our country in Iraq and Afghanistan? So Joe Biden is now trying to imply that 18-year-olds aren't sophisticated enough to be able to own weapons? Really? I could show you a picture of a lot of Marines that are definitely sophisticated enough to be able to own weapons. It is a silly argument designed to go after the emotion. And on its surface, at face value, our country is kept safe by 18-year-olds with guns in uniform. But Joe Biden says, this is insane. This is terrible. And by the way, Joe Biden, you're welcome on my show anytime. I think it's a low likelihood he'll accept. What is an assault weapon? What is an assault weapon? It's a made-up term. A knife can be an assault weapon. A bat can be an assault weapon. An assault weapon is not a technical term in the firearm industry. So they say, oh, well, a AR-15 is an assault rifle. No, it's not. It stands for Armalite Rifle. An assault weapon is a created category by gun grabbers to try to say that all weapons can be assault weapons. So let me get this straight, Joe Biden. 18-year-olds can vote. They vote for you. You really want their vote, right, Joe Biden? People of America vote for me. They can drive. They can serve in our military. But they're not allowed to buy weapons? The Democrats want to lower the voting age to 16, yet they don't believe 18-year-olds can be trusted with weapons. Now, if Joe Biden said, man, it's terrible that someone this demented and this terrible, that this just demonic was able to get their hands on weapons, like, okay, there's an argument against that. How do you screen for it? And this is why I'm totally against red flag laws, by the way. Totally against them. Because who is the government to enforce it? How do they screen it? How do they use it against potential veterans, be able to own guns? But at least there would have been a little bit more understanding of that. Instead, he just goes straight after the age. Like, yeah, 18-year-olds, they're so dumb. We can't trust them. So if Joe Biden wants to raise the voting age to 21, how about he wants to raise whether or not you could serve in our military? So let me get this straight. Joe Biden will happily take you to go serve in our armed forces with a gun, but you can't own a gun here domestically in our own country. How about, you ever been to Israel? How about the IDF? They certainly trust 18-year-olds with guns. At every corner you turn in Israel, there's an 18-year-old with a gun, and they bring it everywhere. Age has nothing to do with it. Mental condition has a lot to do with it. Maturity has a lot to do with it. Sometimes age and maturity are directly connected. Sometimes they're not. But Joe Biden just so recklessly starts to play into the age thing, which, by the way, should be an insult to every veteran and every person that is 18, 19, 20 that wants to be a police officer, every person that's 18, 19, 20 that owns weapons and handles them correctly and professionally. That is an indictment to the hundreds of millions of people. And by the way, you don't hear about these kinds of incidents in Israel because their citizens are armed. If you've never been to Israel, it's one of the most remarkable things. And this is what I always laugh with these anti-gun Democrats who pretend to be pro-Israel. Whether you go to Hebron or if you go to, well, you don't go to Gaza, but if you go to any part of Jerusalem, someone might be out on a date with somebody and they will have a weapon around their back, on their shoulder, ready to go. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.